Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 12:34 after the hour. Yeah, that's it. That's the time. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm where I am, too. I'm glad to be anywhere these days, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. Thank you very much for that, and we got our good buddy Kirk Chaffetz with us right now, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our really good friend, and he's the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And he's a media expert. He's the owner of a media company, and which we'll get him to remind us about in just a little bit, what some of the things he's been up to lately. And it's a global media company, by the way, folks. And he's our good friend, Kirk Chaffetz. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And Kirk, one of the things that's been interesting to watch, maybe not always fun, but certainly exciting to watch, has been the transformation of how companies reach prospects and customers, and we're literally living in a whirlwind of paradigm shifts, aren't we?
We absolutely are, and we're a little behind the curve. As a media culture, we're a little behind the curve. And when I say we, I mean small business owners and big business owners.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at a survey, actually, that proves that small business owners need to get better acquainted with the Internet and everything it can do for them, because they're not using it as well as they should or as much as they should.
Well, I saw a statistic the other day that was just very disturbing to me, and that was that... that 50% of small business owners still don't have a website.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at a survey that says it's a little worse than that. That only 44% of small business owners do have a website. And that's a recent survey from Nielsen Online. So
wow.
Probably is pretty good, the number.
And see, folks, there are some people out there, and I believe I may have had this one guy on my show recently that I disagreed with him about, that he said, you know, small business owners don't need websites. Well, let me tell you something. At a time when most people are living in what you would, to use a term I think you might come up with, Kirk, knowing you, post-website, the post-website age, at a time when we're probably in the post-website age, some people haven't even gotten to the website age.
Well, it's true, and there's a lot of small business owners still relying on the Yellow Pages, partly because they believe that the Yellow Pages are online as well and that covers all of their bets. But in fact, again, this same survey that I'm quoting here says that 82% of the people looking for small business services, for local business services, they begin with a search engine. They don't begin mm-hmm. with the Yellow Pages. They mm-hmm. don't begin with anything in particular in mind. They type out what they need into a search engine, and if you're not there, if you're not search optimized, as they say in the trade, then you don't exist for most of people looking for your service.
Well, I will tell you this, just as to add on to your point there, I've had some Yellow Pages folks on my show recently, and I'll tell you right now, they get it, they get the message, and buddy, they're not thinking just print publishing. I mean, they're thinking they're up to their ears getting on the web and making sure that they're relevant online.
Understood. And I mean, without debating how well they're doing.
Oh no, I agree. No, that's not exactly that's not what we're doing. My point is that they sure get it.
Yeah, I think the people in media are beginning to get it. Here's what everybody is I think failing to get, and it's a critical point, because if you are old enough to own a business at this point in your life, you probably remember when the primary way of advertising was to interrupt somebody's life with
right.
your message.
Right.
That's the way advertising began for all mm-hmm. of us, you know, back
that's,
in the good old days.
That's how free entertainment came about. It was a platform. It was an ad platform.
Exactly. And it was a... It was okay back then that the ads had little or nothing to do with the programming, because
right.
the programming would attract a crowd, and then the programmers would rent that crowd's attention
right.
to you or me to stick a commercial message
mm-hmm.
into the middle of the program where it couldn't be avoided. Well, here's the bad news. It can be avoided now.
Now the technology is there and other things to, you're exactly right. We'll take a quick break. We got Jerry and the Pacemakers taking us out with a song from the Wayback Machine. That's Jerry with a G. And Kirk Chaffetz, I might remember that song. He's the president of Story Worldwide. And he and I will be back in just a minute. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Your heart may be broken. Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And by the way, that's Steely Dan bringing us back. I love that band. But my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, is where you can find lots of good information for your small business. My newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And you can even see a sample of what it looks like when you get there. You can check out my blog, which we update just about every weekday, sometimes on the weekends. And lots of good stuff there. I write all those blog posts, and it's my thoughts on what's going on for the day. And also, you can check out my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, off of the homepage at SmallBusinessAdvocate.com, and lots of other things, thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds and hundreds of Brain Trust members, and including our good friend Kirk Chaffetz, who's with us right now. Kirk is the president of Story Worldwide and the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And Kirk, you were telling us as we went to the break a little bit about some of the research that you've been doing on small businesses, and one of the things that I'd like to stick in here as you continue on with that is, you know, when I used the term post website a minute ago, folks, what I meant by that is that the old days of getting people to come to your website and finding your stuff and then continuing to come back to it to get more of that stuff, those days are over. Kirk, that ship has sailed.
Right.
These days, more and more every day, these days, people come to your website, find what you have, they like your stuff, and they say, okay, I'm going home now. You can follow me if you want. Otherwise, I'm not coming back for a while. What do you think, Kirk?
No, it's absolutely true. And very often, they don't even come to your website. They find you in other ways.
Somewhere else.
Exactly. And now the website is critical as a place to archive information and that sort of stuff.
It's your distribution center.
Exactly. But what you're saying is absolutely true. It's all about information coming to me, the consumer now, me, the audience. I want your information to come to me. I don't want to have to
yep.
come to you. And that means dealing with some really, to coin a phrase, really simple technology
mm-hmm.
like RSS, which sounds complicated, but really just stands for really simple syndication and is
right.
a way to get your content out to other people's home pages so that they
right.
can keep constant track of you. Google makes all of this stuff dead simple.
By the way, speaking
really
of Google, the book What Would Google Do, I'm trying to remember the name of the author. I can't believe I've forgotten it already, but I'll say it in a minute. Anyway, he told us on the show a week or so ago that Google is now saying that they will have more opportunity with serving cell phones or handsets, as they now call them, than they ever had with computers.
Well, I think that's That's undoubtedly true, but but people, I think, to understand what that means, have to reimagine what a mobile device is. I spent some time at Motorola's labs when we were working on some projects with them, and one of the things that was impressed upon me is that as download speeds multiply, and they will, mobile download speeds, that there will be no difference in the information that can be processed by a mobile device than there is by a stationary device.
Yep.
And you also have to understand that a mobile device in the future, your car will be a mobile
device.
That's
right.
It'll have a hard drive. It'll have multiple screens in the front and back seat that have to do with navigation and entertainment, and it will download tons of information. A mobile device doesn't have to be a tiny little thing with a screen so small you can't read it. It can be, you know, an ocean liner. But,
and one of these days, and I've been talking about this for 11 years now, Kirk, one of these days it'll have a hologram, your laptop, I mean not your laptop, but your cell phone, will have a holographic display, a heads-up display like on a jet fighter.
Absolutely. So the size of the screen won't matter at all.
Yeah. That's right.
And all of this stuff was science fiction when we were kids.
Right. But it's actually possible now.
It's even happening.
Yeah.
And going back, we were talking about the end of the age of interruption earlier.
Right.
Which really brings me to the most important part of what Story Worldwide, my company, tells our clients, and if I could share anything with small business owners around the country, it is that the most important part is actually not technology. The first step is figuring out what your story is, figuring out what it is about you that will be compelling, interesting, involving, engaging, and differentiating, and coming up with ways to tell that story to people so that they'll show up to buy your products and services. And because you've got to engage people. Now, we tell our clients in the advertising age, the old age, the interruption age, the measurement was, can I get 2% conversion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I convert 2% of the audience to be my customers?
The audience that sees my ad, will 2% of them take action?
Right, that gets interrupted by my ad. In effect, in the midst of doing something else.
Right.
Now, in what we call the post-advertising age, the real metric is, how can I get 98% engagement?
Mm, wow. Folks, this and listen, never mind the technology. The technology, it doesn't matter about the technology. The issue here, the way to be successful, the way to accomplish what Kirk just said, is all between your ears, whether you believe it or not. Tintel, right back after these messages. We're back at 7 till on Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Kirk Chaffetz, and his website, his company is Story, like STORY, storyworldwide.com is the website, and I hope you check it out. Folks, you ought to go there just to see what the website looks like. It's absolutely, it will amaze you. It's a dazzling, very effective, very cutting edge website, but even that, Kirk, you subscribe to your own. I mean, you drink your own Kool-Aid, don't you? I mean, it's your delivery platform. You don't consider it to be, you know, the where you make your living. You make your living out there where your users are.
Absolutely, and one way in which we drink our own Kool-Aid, and we're still experimenting with it, is another website called PostAdvertising.com.
Right,
and this is our blog site, which we are working on integrating more into our main site.
Right.
But this is about getting our opinions and ideas and broadcasting them out to the wide world and using, again, not to get too technical, but there's some great new services such as Delicious and Dig.
Right.
That allow people to tag content they like and bring it to the attention of a particular group of people. people who are interested in that kind of thing. And if you go to dig.com, D-I-G-G.com,
right.
You can begin to get familiar with all of that. But the point is,
well, you're
exactly
talking about the social
saying.
Media now, and you know, I jokingly say I used to seek the meaning of life. Now I seek the meaning of social media.
And I think the meaning of social media, it's here, let me tell you a quick story, okay?
Right.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook because of my 22-year-old daughter.
Right.
Who's
we're
a
friends. We're friends on
being.
Facebook, aren't we? You and I.
We
you
are,
and I are friends on Facebook.
Right, and that gives you a good idea of the eclectic community that we have built on
Facebook.
And
especially with our collective gray hair, right?
Well, our collective gray hair, and we're friends with several hundred college students,
yeah.
Because my daughter's a friend of
yep,
ours on Facebook, and she's involved in the film industry. She's a costumer, a set costumer, as well as an actress, a very talented human being. But she got on Facebook the other day and said she had become a fan of a comedian named Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
That sounded interesting. So I clicked on Mike Birbiglia and found out that he's getting rave reviews for an off-Broadway play. I went to his blog site and yeah. read some of his stuff and then spent $200 on tickets for this off-Broadway play.
Right.
Now, how did I get there? I got there from a recommendation from a friend
and
on
that's,
Facebook.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the future of media.
That's it. And
what
I couldn't
just
agree
said.
More. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you another quick story. I have people... I'm also on Twitter, as you probably are.
Mm-hmm.
And we post my interviews whenever they're ready to go as archives. We post them on Twitter. We have people who have told Twitter to only they have applications that allow them to do this. They only send certain people that they follow to their cell phone because they're traveling around. And so we have people who listen to my show because Twitter forwards them the interviews that we post on Twitter. And so that's how they find me. That's how they listen to me, is on their cell phone as a result of being received by being forwarded from Twitter to their phones.
Exactly. And,
after
and
we
I
post
always,
them for on our website and then tell Twitter they're available.
And again, I always worry when we start throwing around all of these sites and technologies and communications techniques that people, a lot of folks out there are getting confused because it's new to many
yep.
people.
And it's still, and the ROI, the business ROI is still not completely clear to a lot of people.
I think that's correct. And again, I spend a lot, I have one huge client, very sophisticated clients, who have been staying off the web essentially because they said, well, with 80 billion websites, how can mm-hmm. I ever make an impression? You know, how will mm-hmm. I ever stand out? And what I say to them is it's exactly through these kinds of techniques because it's not about being one of 80 billion websites. That has nothing to do with the
mm-hmm.
web. What it has to do with is being of interest to a particular group of people.
Right.
And then for them, you're one of five websites
right.
all of a sudden.
Exactly.
The world gets narrowed down very quickly on the
That's
web.
That's exactly right. It's the small business model. I don't have to have everybody to be successful, just the people who want my stuff.
Exactly. And
Kirk Chaffetz, we
got to
wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely, Joe.
Kirk Chaffetz, ladies and gentlemen, storyworldwide.com. And postadvertising.com. Check those out. He'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.